50-minute mark on the Fan. That is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Donnie Football in for the guys on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Charlie Borges is with me behind the glass. We are together until 6. Josh Roundtree on the Fan this evening from 6 until 10:35. Right now, we go out to the Fan Hotline, which is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, and that is where we find our good friend, Pirates reporter Noah Hiles from the Post-Gazette. Noah, you were at Pirates Fest this weekend, and it was fun to follow along to what you were tweeting out from the Q&A session. Sounded like an ECW-like crowd in that building at times, Noah, based on what your tweets were reading as. The first answer to the event, it just got a sell the team chant. Sounded like a hostile environment that some of the Pirates front office members had to sit through.
Yeah. I don't think it was anything that they weren't expecting as far as questions. Half the questions were pre-submitted, and I'm not going to sit here and, you know, praise them too much for everything, but I will give them props. I mean, they answered the questions, or they didn't. The tough submitted questions, they didn't just throw to the wayside. Like, they picked out stuff that I'm sure a lot of disgruntled fans would have liked to ask. And then they had a long portion of the session was more of that line of questioning from people in the audience. So it's not what I'm trying to say basically is it's not like just the submitted ones were softballs. Like, those were along the same line of what you heard from the live audience. But yeah, there were a lot of very pointed and emotional questions asked to, you know, three of the more influential people in the organization.
And Ben Cherington, you know, he got asked plenty about, you know, really, why haven't we seen any notable moves? Okay, they bring back Andrew McCutchen. That's all well and good. But I know that you threw it out there as you were doing during the entire duration of the Q&A. About signing some free agents to more than just one-year deals. He says we've tried, we'll continue to try. What do you have on your mind when you hear that, thinking about how they have attacked this free agency period so far? We're not too far away from spring training, and I know there's no rule about them signing a player once we get there. They're not really a rule about, hey, you know, it's late in the process here. But it is kind of getting late early out there, and they've done next to nothing.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the we've tried line, I guess the easy response will be, well, you should try harder. I get the first couple of years only, you know, making big moves internally, because that's what you do during a rebuild. You know, you sell off your aging pieces for prospects. You hope to develop them. You hope to build with the young guys that you inherited. And they did that to a certain extent. I mean, they built a farm system that never really ranked. I mean, it ranked up there at certain times during the rebuild. And, you know, they got some high draft picks and they extended guys internally, which were all decent moves. But the last two off seasons, you should shift away from that. It should be finding complementary pieces that go along with what you've developed on your own or what you inherited and continue to develop. And you can't necessarily do that on one-year deals. You're not funding any continuity by that. And I understand that this is probably an organization that's lower on the desired list for free agents for, you know, it's lack of success when it comes to winning games over the last three decades. But there's an easy way to fix that. Offer them more money than other teams. That's what you want. If you really want a player, go out and get him. And that's a tough thing to do for a front office, I guess, that's financially handicapped. I mean, no one knows exactly what type of budget these guys are working with. But if it's as tight as it seems, it can be hard to get someone to agree to a multi-year commitment, because that means you're going to be dishing out a large chunk of your off-season spending capital. So I get it in a sense where I more understand why it hasn't happened. I don't think it's an acceptable reality at the end of the day. And I don't expect any multi-year deals between now and opening day. Now, I would be pleasantly shocked if that were to happen. But as you mentioned, Donnie, I mean, I fly down to Bradenton in like 3 weeks for spring training. So I don't know. I just look at the market and I don't see a lot of guys that would make sense to sign to a multi-year deal at this point if you're the Pirates. So it's probably going to be another offseason of just one-year deals.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that Charrington the other day said that he was confident the roster will be improved between now and opening day. It seems like, and let me know if you get the sense of this, Noah, they are just counting on the guys they already have to get better and help them maybe get over that playoff hump.
Yeah. I mean, and that's nothing new. That's something that Ben has said time and time again since I've started covering the team, which was about a year ago. So, I mean, even at the deadline when everyone was begging them to do something, he said, look, we're going to do stuff, but you need to understand that, you know, the reality is they don't have the money to pay for a true difference maker. If that true difference maker is going to be on this team, it's going to be because they drafted him or acquired him via trade and developed him. And I mean, they have some difference makers here, and they're just going to need those guys to be better. They're going to need the guys who were average last year to be better. And most importantly, they're going to need a lot of the guys who disappointed last year to be better. On one hand, you look at that and you think, okay, well, if you believe in what you're doing and you believe in the ability to identify weaknesses and coach, and you believe in this new coaching staff and these new analytics people you hired, then sure, bet on yourself. But that was a very similar strategy to which they took last year. And it didn't work. Jack Suwinski never broke out of his slump. Ke'Bryan Hayes never got healthy. Henry Davis never put it together. Those were three guys they needed offense from, and they're banking on all of them again. It's, you know, it's probably not the easiest strategy to feel comfortable with if you're someone who's not in that room.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be easy for anyone. I mean, I'm going to be honest, Noah. I'm normally a hope springs eternal type guy with the Buccos. You know this. You and I have had plenty of conversations even before you were on the beat. There's one guy, legitimately one guy, who I know will deliver, and that's Paul Skeens. Otherwise, it's a lot of question marks. Will Jared Jones be as good? You know, that's one of the questions. Will O'Neill Cruz do all right enough in center field to stay focused at the plate? Like, there are so many questions that is taken into account with this roster. The only guy I am 100% sure of outside of injury will be good/great is Paul Skeens.
Yeah, I think there's a couple more. I get what you're saying. I mean, Skeens is a very easy person to, you know, make that bet on, no doubt. But the only portion of the team where I'm truly optimistic in their strategy of, hey, we're banking on everyone being better, I think that the pitching staff will, the starting rotation will be better without having any additions. Simply because Paul Skeens should be better in year two. I think Jared Jones will be better in year two, especially if he can just master a third pitch, be it a changeup, or I would like it to be a curveball, which I think Brett Strom will help him with. That'll be good. I think Chandler will be better as a rookie this upcoming season than Jones was last year. And Jones was a very solid rookie starting pitcher. And if you have those three, plus we know what we're getting from Mitch Keller, which is not enough to some people, but if that's your number 3-4 guy, that's still solid. And then you have your Bailey Falter, your Johan Oviedo, two other top 100 pitching prospects in AAA, and Mike Burrows there. So that group right there that I just laid out, that's a lot better than last year's group, which included names like Marco Gonzalez, Martin Perez, Quinn Priester, you know, Jake Woodford. Like, I don't think they're going to have a guy at the caliber of Jake Woodford or Domingo Germán starting games for them this year. So if we're taking it out a little bit, I think that you can feel comfortable with the starting pitching. Now, there is, of course, an opportunity or a chance they will regress some of those guys or they could get hurt. But I think the more likelihood is that group will be good. It's just outside of that group, who do you really bank on? I think Reynolds is probably the most stable case as far as a position player. McCutchen, I think, won't completely fall off a cliff unless if his health does. And there's a couple of guys like a Nick Gonzalez, a Joey Bart, where you feel like they're not going to be terrible, but you need people to be better than just not terrible. And who's going to be above average? And you look around, you could say, okay, he probably will. He might. You would like a lot more of those confident check marks, though, in your 1-9 that you're missing.
Talking to Pirates reporter Noah Hiles here on 93.7 The Fan. Noah, you mentioned Andrew McCutchen there. Did you get the gist, or are you getting the gist from some of the fan base of, hey, we appreciate you bringing Kutch back a couple of years ago, but you know, now that PR stunt is getting a little bit old. I thought the one question and answer that you posted the other day about why did the club re-sign Kutch rather than look for a younger player to fill that void was a little bit interesting.
Yeah, I think people just want a good lineup. And there were players available in free agency and players acquired by other teams this offseason in trades who probably could have put up better numbers than Andrew McCutchen. Now, there's two factors as to why they won't be Pirates. I mean, one, they're all probably going to be a little bit more expensive than $5 million a year. And two, it's a simple thing for the Pirates. I mean, they know that this is a guy who wants to play for them. How many free agents can you circle where you can go and say, okay, we are their top option? Andrew might be the only one. So it's easy to get that deal done. And also, I will say, to counter the people who said, oh, that position should have went to someone younger, someone who maybe can do more. While I don't necessarily disagree, I mean, this isn't a team who's in a spot to be turning away people who hit 20 home runs for them the year prior. And he's one of only a couple of guys who did that. So the fact that he provides leadership, the fact that he provides some sort of pop, the fact that he's cheap, the fact that he wants to be here. And I think that another thing that doesn't get mentioned with McCutchen is he's very fundamentally dependable in the sense where how many guys on this team do you feel comfortable with at the plate with one out, runner on third, that guy's going to hit a ground ball to the right side or hit a fly ball into the outfield or draw a walk, not just strike out or hit a ground ball to the mound or, you know, not get that run home. Andrew does that. Like, even for all of his faults now where you can't play him in the field, he's beat up, he's old, he doesn't hit as well as he used to as far as average is concerned. The pop's even down a little bit. But like fundamentally, he's maybe their second best hitter as far as depending on situation stuff. So I think that's another reason why you got to have some guy on the team like that. And he checks too many boxes for them to kind of let walk.
Noah, this is one that has personal interest for me because this is what I have at home. But Travis Williams saying that Pittsburgh Sportsnet will be available on Roku this season and they're working on making it available on other smart TVs as well. Did he dive into any sort of detail about how that will work with a Roku TV?
He did. I don't have those notes totally in front of me right now.
That's just like an app, maybe?
Yeah, I don't want to answer that entirely just because, you know, so much happened that day that the Roku thing was just like, yes, it's happening on Roku. I need to write about other things that transpired during this session, but it's happening on Roku. But I will say, I do remember him talking about how their goal is to basically make it available for most smart TV brands. So that, I guess, would mean an app. They talked about how they felt their app was a success in their first year of doing it. But, you know, it would be good for the organization to make sure as many people as possible could view them through streaming or on TV, because that plays a factor in how an offseason goes.
Yeah, I mean, I've had to go to some weird lengths to watch the Pirates over the last couple of years since I've gone to more of a streaming route. So hopefully they give us more clarification on that one soon. Noah, just one more time before we let you go. You go to Bradenton in 3 weeks, and you don't think they will sign really a notable free agent between now and then?
It depends what your definition of notable is. I wouldn't be shocked to see them make another big league addition to their bullpen. I don't think it's going to be anyone similar to an Aroldis Chapman like we saw last year.
Let's say like a multi-year guy, a multi-year contract.
I don't see any multi-year contracts between now and spring training. Now they could, but just looking at the market, I don't know who would make sense to make that deal for. I don't think they would do that for a corner outfielder that's still out there. Guys like Grichik, Verdugo. I mean, they don't necessarily make sense for that type of deal for this team. There are relievers that I would consider doing a multi-year deal for, but I don't know if that's the strategy for which this organization's thinking right now because of all the, you know, development projects they've took in that area of the team. I don't know if they want to commit an additional space for multiple years for what would probably make them the highest paid reliever in that bunch if they were to do a multi-year deal. So no, don't see any multi-year deals. Might see a big league deal or two before they get to Bradenton, though.
Pirates reporter Noah Hiles from the Post-Gazette. Follow his stuff. Noah, thanks for taking the time, man.
Always happy to be on, Donnie.
There we go. There's our guy Noah from the PG. Coming up,